Okay, we're doing Dein Yaakov on Brachot. We're up to page Ein Gimel Amud Beis in the standard in Yaakov editions, which is like page 146, if you guys have the photocopies of what we're learning. And the standard in Yaakov is on the top right, you'll see 146. It's really in the Gemara Brachos, it's Tafnim Amud Beis. Page 146 on the top right. You got to turn a lot of pages. Okay, so the Mishnah says we're holding in the middle of the page Mishnah Berech, and the Mishnah says if you made a Borei Pri Adama on a fruit tree, your Yotzei. But if you made a borei pri ha'etz on a vegetable, on something that grows on the earth that doesn't grow on a tree, then you have not fulfilled your obligation. Because a fruit tree comes from the ground. So borei pri ha'adama encompasses the fruit trees, b'dieved. But a borei pri ha'etz, well, this didn't grow on a tree, so it doesn't encompass it. Pshita, the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Why does the Mishnah have to tell us that? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak lo nitzcha ela l'Rabbi Yehuda. This statement of the Mishnah is necessary because of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amar, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that chita min ilani, the weed is a type of tree. Ditanya, because we have the following brisa. Ilan she'achal mimenu Adam arishon, the tree, the forbidden fruit that Adam ate from. Adam ate from a forbidden fruit. We don't know what it was. Rabbi Meir omer gefenaya. Rabbi Meir says it was a grape. שאין לך דבר שמביל על האדם אל היין, שנאמר ותש מן יין וישקר, וישת מן יין וישקר. He says, what brings wailing upon a human being? In all of world history, what's brought destruction to the human being? Wine. Person drinks wine, and then he ends up killing his wife, like Achashverosh. Person drinks wine, and then he ends up messing up his war and his whole army, like Sancheiriv. A person drinks wine, and often in history we see people make grave errors after drinking wine, and then they're embittered. So what brought embitterment to the human being? Wine. So it makes sense that the first fruit that brought embitterment to the human being is wine. So that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Nechemia omer teinaita. Rabbi Nechemia says the forbidden fruit was a fig. Shebedavar shenitkakalu banitkenu. Because the same item that they sinned in, so that's the item that was used to fix them, to help them fix their shame. They sewed together fig leaves to cover their shame. So they used the same tree that they sinned with, they used to try and fix the issue with. Rabbi Yehuda omer chitaita. Rabbi Yehuda says they ate from grain, they ate wheat. She'en ha'tinok yodea likrot abba v'ima chitom tam dagan. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll prove it to you. Because even today, there's an element of intellect that does not develop in a child till he's eaten grains. And so it must be grains that were eaten that gave them this extra intellect, this extra capacity to understand that they were naked. So he says, that's the food they ate. Now, okay, there's a lot of depth to this Gemara. I don't know how much to expand. There are a few things that should bother us. Let's analyze the Gemara a little bit more in depth, and I guess we'll have to leave it at that. Obviously, it's bothersome to say that wheat is a tree, right? Another thing that should bother us is of what relevance is it, whether it was a fig or a grape or wheat. So here we see there's halachic relevance, because if it's wheat, then we have a source that wheat can be called the tree, and then I might think that if you say bor priya eitz on wheat, then you'd fulfill your obligation. That's why the Mishnah has to say, no. Even on wheat, if you said bor priya eitz, you did not fulfill your obligation. You see that halachically, even if we go with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that the eitz hadas was wheat, we still don't treat it as an eitz. And the Gemara doesn't bother explaining why. When did Adam sin? So Adam sinned on Friday afternoon, just before Shabbos. The Medrash says, had he waited a little bit longer, God would have said to him, take those grapes, make wine, make Kiddush, sanctify the Shabbos. He didn't. Every Friday night, we try to fix Adam's sin. So on Friday night, we say, Hamotzi on Tuchalas. Maybe the Eitz Hadas was wheat. We sanctify the Shabbos with Tuchalas. On Friday night, we make Kiddush over wine. We also make Abdullah over wine. Adam ate the forbidden fruit too early. We eat it correctly. We sanctify the Shabbos with it. We learned in the Drasha Saran class, we learned the Ran explained that the forbidden fruit really strengthened Adam's body. Meaning, the Gemara says, you see that wheat must be the forbidden fruit because a child gains intellect after he eats grains. Did Adam gain intellect or lose intellect when he ate from the forbidden fruit? Beforehand, we have on tradition that his spiritual capacity was huge, his soul was tremendous, he could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world, he was as tall as the clouds. Obviously, these things aren't to be taken literally, but at any rate, he was a huge person spiritually before the sin of the forbidden fruit. And then he was diminished. So the Ran explained to us that the nature of Adam before the sin was that he was a primarily spiritual being. And then, after the sin, the forbidden fruit strengthened his body, and it changed the balance within the man, because the Ran was bothered. He said, why should we be paying for Adam's sin? If Adam sinned, what did I do wrong? Why do I have to die? So the Ran explained that this is not a punishment for Adam's sin. The fact that we die today is a result of the fact that the composition of the human being changed. Adam was able to change his own composition, and in fact, he affected all of us. But when we say that we die because of Adam, it's not that I'm dying because of his sin. It's that it's a natural derivative. He changed his own composition. He was supposed to be a primarily spiritual being. After he ate from the fruit, he became stronger physically. He became stronger physically, and then the physical became a greater component in the life of Adam, and a greater component in the life of his descendants. Well, if the physical is the greater component of life, then the physical has a finite end. The spiritual is infinite. The physical is finite. And so when Adam ate from the forbidden fruit, his balance shifted. Until now, he was primarily spiritual, and the spiritual can last and sustain a physical which is secondary to the spiritual. But when he strengthened his body, as the Pasuk describes, when they ate it, they said, oh, this is good. It doesn't say they felt bad. It says they felt good. Yes, physically, they felt much better after eating from the forbidden fruit. Imagine a diet on everything but grains. You wouldn't be too full. Suddenly you have a slice of bread and you say, ah, now I'm full. Okay, now you're full. But now you've strengthened the physical, and now the physical is a greater component in the life of Adam. The physical plays a larger part than the spiritual. And the physical is finite. The spiritual can't sustain a physical that's stronger. Now that all works fine with the Ran. How does that work with our Gemara? Our Gemara seems to say that when Adam ate from the forbidden fruit, so then his intellect grew, because you see a child's intellect develops when they eat from the grains. So to Adam, his intellect developed when he ate from the grains. Yes. His intellect in the physical world developed. His understanding and his Yetzer Hara developed. His understanding's down below. The physical developed, and with it came physical understandings. the physical strength and the physical understandings develop in a child after he eats from the grains. And that goes hand in hand with what we saw from the Ran, that the spiritual was diminished when he ate from the forbidden fruit. You guys with me so far? Once we've touched on this idea, we could add another point. Adam in the Garden of Eden, did he have a desire to do bad? The answer is yes, but it was external. There was the snake, there was an external Yetzer Hara. When Adam went and took and ate from the forbidden fruit, he ingested, he took the Yetzer Hara and put it inside of him. Now Adam is going to have a much more difficult time discerning between what is good and bad. Until now, it was very clear. There was what's right and what's wrong. At least Adam inside of him was whole. He was clear. That doesn't mean there weren't external temptations. There was a forbidden fruit. There was a snake out there. But it was all external. Inside there was serenity. There was clarity. And ever since Adam ate from the forbidden fruit, we no longer have that clarity. Now we face our challenges and we have to ask ourselves, what's right and what's wrong? And what do I really want to do? What is the Yetzer Tov telling me to do? There's a distortion within. We no longer see clearly. And now we have a Yetzer Hara that's within as well. We also have the Yetzer Hara that's without, right? There's also the external Yetzer Hara. We didn't lose that, but the battle became harder. Amar Rav. Rav Tor. Who was Rav? What generation of Amorim? First. Disciple of Rebbe and Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya's nephew. Rav is Tanohu Palig, right? Rav is the one Amora who can argue on Tanoim. So Rav taught, Kol bracha shen bazkarat Hashem ina bracha. Any blessing that does not mention God's name, that's not a blessing. Okay, so now we know one imperative part of the blessing is God's name. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Who's Rabbi Yochanan? Who's Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan lived in Israel. Rav lived in Babylon. Well, he began in Israel, and then he descended to Babylon. Rabbi Yochanan compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan, we saw earlier, lost all 10 children. His last son withered in front of his eyes, was boiled to death. Rabbi Yochanan, what else did we learn about him? Was a disciple of Rabbi Yanai, was the Rebbe of Rebbe Elazar. So Rabbi Yochanan in the land of Israel, he taught, Kol bracha shen ba malchut ena bracha, any blessing that does not mention God's kingship, melech ha'olam, any blessing that doesn't say melech ha'olam is not a blessing. So Rav said you have to say God's name, Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to say melech ha'olam. So far, we're all together? Okay. Amar Abaye, so Abaye taught, who's Abaye? Abaye was the disciple of Rabba Bar Nachmani. Abaye was an orphan and adopted by Rabba Bar Nachmani. His real name was Nachmani. But Rabba didn't want to keep calling his adopted kid the name of his own father, so he called him Abaye. You got the name like my father, Nachmani. Abaye was a Kohen. He was a contemporary of Rava. And throughout the Shas, the halacha is not like Abaye. In most places, the halacha is like Rava. Right? Abaye and Rava, the halacha is like Rava, except for six places. So Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Kavatei de Rav mistabra, like Rav seems to make sense. Detanya, because we have the following braisa. It says in the pasuk, Lo avalti mimitzvotecha velo shachachti. When we go up to Jerusalem, we make a certain declaration together with our fruits. We say, you know, it's the end of tax season. It's the end of the time of Trumas and Maestros. Now, at the end of the third year, the seventh year, we make a declaration. I've done what you told me, God. I have not transgressed your mitzvos. I took off my tithe the way you told me. I took off my truma the way you told me. Velo shachachti, and I haven't forgotten to do it, what's incumbent upon me. So the Braisa explains, Lo avalti, what does it mean I haven't transgressed milvarechecha, from making a blessing over the mitzvah to take off the truma and the meiser. Velo shachachti, nor have I forgotten milazkir shimcha alav, from mentioning your name upon it. So it seems like the incumbent part of the blessing is mentioning God's name. That seems like Rav. Veilu malchut loktani, you see the Braisa does not mention that it's incumbent to mention that God is king. Seems like the incumbent part of the blessing is saying God's name. Okay, so we say in halacha that both are incumbent. Every blessing must have both. Hashem, we mention Hashem's name, and Melech Olam. Okay. Amar Rabbi Zera v'itema Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Rabbi Zera taught, and some say it was Rabbi Chanina bar Papa who taught this. Bo'rei, come see. Shelo k'midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basav adam. That God's ways are not like the ways of flesh and blood. Midat basav adam. The way of flesh and blood is, the way we live down below is, klirikan machzik. You want a vessel that will be able to house things, you take an empty vessel. Male no masik. You have a full vessel that can't house anything. Avel HaKadosh Baruch Hu inochen. But by God, it's not like that. Male machzik. When you have a full vessel, then it can absorb more. Reikan, if you have an empty blessing, eino machzik, then it cannot absorb more. Shenemar, as the verse says, Vayomer, God said to the Jewish people, Im shamoa tishma lekol Hashem lokecha. If here you shall hear the voice of Hashem your God. The verse is telling us, Im shamoa, if you hear in the beginning, tishma, you will continue listening. Ve'im lav lo tishma, and if not, then you won't. So you see that God's way is if you have a full blessing, if you have someone smart, someone who's willing to hear the first time, then he can continue hearing. And that's a rule in life. You walk into one class and there's a chance you walk into a second and a third and a fourth. You stay out of the first class, so then you're an empty vessel, you're never going to continue learning. People think, if I never learn, I'll want to learn. It doesn't work that way. You want to learn. If you want to have the desire to learn, start learning. If you sit back and wait for yourself to have the desire to learn, it's never going to come. The desire to learn comes from learning itself. Im shamoa tishma. If you hear the first time, then you'll want to hear the second time. Learning is something, it's like drinking salty water. The more you drink, the more you want. Learning is something that you have to start the cycle. It's like pedaling on a bike. Once you start pedaling, it's easier to continue. But the first pedal is always the hardest, right? That's going from standing, from inertia to movement. Once you're in movement, it's easier to keep moving. And that's the way it is with learning. The key, if you want to have desire to learn, is you get started without desire. Start. Davar acher, another understanding is, im shamo b'yeshan, if you listen to the old things, tishma b'chadash, you'll hear new things. V'im yifne levavcha, shuv lo tishma. And if you stop with the old, then you won't hear the new either. ועל הירקות אומר בורא פרי האדמה. Over vegetables we make a blessing בורא פרי האדמה. רבי יהודה אומר בורא מיני תשעים. רבי יהודה says we make the blessing he who created different types of greenery. אמר רבי זר רבי תמר רבי חנינה בר פאפה. We have another quote from רבי זר. Another say it was רבי חנינה בר פאפה. מאי קרא. What verse is the source for this concept? ברוך השם יום יום. Blessed is Hashem day day. וכי ביום מברכים טוב בלילה אין מברכים אותו. What does King David mean in this verse? We only bless God by day, not by night. But rather the verse was teaching us, give each day its blessing. Shabbos has its blessing. Every day should have its blessing, its thanks to God. By the same token, every type should have its own blessing. Very often guys come, they learn about Judaism, and then they hear that a shehakol is all encompassing. So every few months I get this question on a Thursday night. Rabbi, I just want to make sure. A shehakol covers everything, right? What's the guy really asking? I don't want to learn all the technical details. Let me just make a shahakal over everything and I'm covered. No, that's this concept that we just read. King David said, bless Hashem each day for that day's a special day. Every day is supposed to be a unique day. Every day should have its unique thanks, its unique blessing. By the same token, every item God gave us. You eat an apple, it doesn't have the same flavor as a cucumber. You eat a cucumber, it doesn't have the same flavor as a potato, as a tomato, as a carrot. Each thing has its own flavor. So at least we discern. We give vegetables their blessing and fruits their blessing. We give some level of discernment. And the truth is that here we have a very important concept. People sometimes say, you know, my prayer is the same every day. It's very hard to focus. So the key lies in the first sentence. If your prayer is the same every day, that's where the problem lies. Every day has its own blessing. Every day has its things that we should thank Hashem for. And the truth is, if you don't see it, then you should pause and notice it. Now, if you had an audience with the president every day, and every day you could pose one request before the president, You'd be stupid not to think about it before you walked in. If every day you ask for the same thing, it's stupid. You have an audience with God three times a day. A person should pause and think for a moment, if only to say thank you to God. I told you guys the story. We mentioned this a few times. The friend of mine who lost a child and decided as a result of that every day, three times a day before prayer, he's going to decide one more thing to tell God thank you about. Every time, he said, just made him more aware of how many things he has in his life that he didn't say thank you for. So he doesn't let himself finish a Shmona Esrei without saying thank you for one new thing that he never said thank you before in Modim. Now, the truth is we should all do that. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia quoted in the name of Rav. Rav was who? The disciple of Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. Oh, Babylonian. What generation, Amora? First generation. Very good. And Rav is unique that he can argue on Tanoim. Rav Tanu Pali. Rav is the one Amora who argues freely on Tanoic opinions in Mishnah and Braisa. So he said the following: Minayin shemvachim alareach. How do you know that you make a blessing over smell? How do we know that? Shneimar, the verse says, Kol anishamata lelka haleluka. All breaths give praise to God. Give praise to God. So what's the verse saying? Izu davar shan shama nenet mimenu venaguf nene mimenu. What is there that our soul enjoys, our breath enjoys, but the body does not enjoy? Heve omer zareach. That must be smell. So it says you give praise to God over breathing. So what does that mean? It means over smelling. Smelling is something that your soul, your breath enjoys, and your body does not enjoy. And I could tell you, maybe we'll end with this point. I once called my grandmother, who is a Holocaust survivor, and my grandmother asked me, what's doing? So I said, nothing special. So my grandmother said, nothing special? Well, let me tell you something. 55, 60 years ago, I was hiding under the planks in Poland, and the Nazis were looking for us, and we spent 2 weeks under those planks, under the floorboards, in hiding, before we could escape one night. And for 2 weeks, we were down there. We couldn't go to any bathroom. We couldn't relieve ourselves. At night, we could sneak out just to get something to drink to wet our lips and get back down under the planks. So we were under these planks, and you can imagine the foul smell that existed under those planks. I couldn't breathe. By the end of those 2 weeks, I raised my eyes to heaven and I said, God, if you give me one more time to sit on a normal rooftop and take a normal breath of air, I will never stop thanking you. Just give me one more normal breath of air. So my grandmother said to me, did you breathe today? A normal breath of air? Don't tell me you had nothing special in your life. You had a lot special. Every breath is special. And when my grandmother told me that, I thought back to this Gemara. Kol ha-nishama te'alelka. For every breath, the Gemara says we thank Hashem. What's something that we thank Hashem for? So the Gemara says it's a nice smell. And I guess after experiencing what they experience, we can say even normal smell, even normal breath of fresh air is something to say thank you over.